Well, folks, as we open up this week's culture segment, I have the privilege of welcoming back Shanti Feldhahn. Hey, Shanti.
Hello.
Great to have you here.
It's always good to be with you.
I know, man. It's been a while since I think we talked about the male factor last time you were here.
So I think we did.
Of course, Shanti, for those of you who have read any of her books, know that she is the author of the wildly popular For Women Only, and then, of course, For Men Only, which her husband helps her a ton in research and kind of boots on the ground, kind of...
Yes.
Walking things out, figuring things out. Very cool there. But she actually has a new project now. How many of you, now that we're in a new year, happy new year again, now that we're in a new year, how many of you want to be kinder this year? Do you have it as a new year's resolution or a goal? I know I don't, because I feel like I'm a very kind person. And so, you know, I don't have to do any of this stuff. So, but the thing is, Shanti and I are going to help you because all of you need to be kinder. Not us.
We don't have that need. No.
No. So in fact, she has a thing going. There's a book about it. She's also doing an actual 30-day challenge, but it's called the Kindness Challenge, 30 days to improve any relationship. We talk a lot about relationships here at The Boundless Show. We know that you all love it when we talk about dating and all that kind of stuff, but good dating relationships begin just by having great relationships with people in general, and healthy single people build into healthy dating relationships and ultimately healthy marriages. So, Shanti, this is going to be fun. We're going to have a little chat about this. So, so the first thing I want to know is kind of how, basically we know that kindness is a fruit of the spirit. So, but why is it specifically that a book and a challenge needs to be done about kindness and not like self-control or patience, or why choose this?
Well, we could probably do books on all of those, right?
True.
Because we all need them really badly. But actually what we discovered as I did, you know, all of my stuff is based on research. And so this was a big research project, and essentially discovered that if you want to thrive in your life, if you want to thrive in your relationships, kindness is a superpower.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just no other way of putting it. It's a supernatural trait that we all think we're kind. We all want to be kind. We have no idea how powerful it is, and we have no idea how unkind we are every single day. And so that is really where this came from, is recognizing we all think we're pretty kind people, and yet no, actually, there's a lot we have to learn.
Yeah. So can you, let's go ahead and just start out by kind of explaining the challenge in a nutshell. Like how, I mean, really like 30 days, like how is this? Because like you said, most people think, well, I'm kind of generally kind. I mean, what am I actually supposed to be doing? How's this going to make a difference in just a month?
Yeah. So here is what we tell people. If you want to completely transform not just a relationship, but yourself, pick a person. Like, it honestly, it makes a difference if you have a specific person in mind that you want a better relationship. And it could be somebody you have a good relationship already. You know, it could be your mom or your dad, you know, or it could be the person at the office that drives you nuts. It could be your stepmom. Mm-hmm. It could be your neighbor, like your roommate, somebody who you have a contentious situation. And for 30 days, here's what you do. You have three separate things. Every day, you say nothing negative about that person. So let's just say it's your roommate. And that means, and your roommate's a bit of a slob, and it drives you absolutely bananas. And for 30 days, that means you can't complain to them about it. And you can't go to your friends at the office and complain about it. And you can't say, it's basically nothing negative either to them or about them to anybody else. The second thing you do for 30 days is you find one thing that you can sincerely praise, you can sincerely affirm, and you tell them and you tell somebody else. So for example, with the roommate, you can't complain about them being a slob, but you notice, you know what, they're truly willing to help you out when you've gotten stuck at the, you know, there's no way to get back from the subway back to your apartment, and they always are willing at, you know, midnight, come pick you up or whatever. And they're just generous that way. And so you tell them, and then you go to your friends at the office and you say, you know what my roommate did yesterday? And you're reaffirming to yourself something positive. And then the third thing is to do one small act of kindness, one small act of generosity for them. So it could be something simple as that, you know, that they've had a hard day and you bring a cup of coffee home from Starbucks. I mean, literally something super, super simple like that. And what we found is that 89% of the relationships improved. It didn't matter whether it was a super close relationship or a more arm's length one, 89% improved. And what's happened is it impacts the other person, but this process completely changes you.
So tell us a little bit. I'm assuming that, you know, both in research and walking this out, you've obviously done this yourself on a couple levels. What did you find unexpected about it? You know, maybe you thought, okay, if I try this and this and this, what actually, you know, what really was transformed in yourself as a result?
Oh my gosh.
Who'd you pick,
by the
way?
Does this mean that I have to confess hard things?
Probably,
yes. Well, okay, I have a teenage daughter. And my teenage daughter is a sweet girl, but she is king of the eye rolls. And you should see my head explode. And it's really interesting when I start doing this process, and actually I really became aware of this during the research, even before doing the 30-day kindness challenge myself. I would have said that of those three things, which are really the three elements of kindness, not being negative, being affirming, and being generous, doing something generous. And I would have said, you know, I need to work on two and three. You know, I see that maybe I'm not as affirming as I need to be, etc. But I've got number one down. I mean, I'm not a negative person. I'm, you know, and oh my word, once I started cataloging the types of negativity, and it turns out one of the types of negativity is exasperation. I get exasperated with my kids all the time. And I would never say out loud the words, "You're an idiot." I would never say that out loud. And yet that's what I say when I'm exasperated with her. And literally, it's simple things like, what? I gave you that form to turn into your teacher a week ago. I can't believe we're getting fined because you didn't, you know, turn it in. What are you thinking? I would never say the words, "And you're an idiot," but that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And so talk about what's the most surprising to me, and what I learned is this finding that all of us learn when we start this. We have no idea how unkind we are every day.
Huh. Now, what would you say is the difference between being kind and being nice? Because I think a lot of us are more practiced at being nice. And really, it's kind of like we're nice, but then we just try to maintain our distance so that no one gets up in our business because, you know, that's more difficult. So how would you help people distinguish between the two?
Honestly, one of the things that to me is a crucial distinction is that kindness is deep and strong, and niceness often is very shallow, and it's very much, let's not rock the boat. Now, don't get me wrong, being nice is fine in some cases because life can be a lot more pleasant when you're around nice people, but it is very shallow. And sometimes kindness requires strength. Sometimes kindness requires, honestly, establishing boundaries. And you can have somebody in your life, maybe, for example, your brother. And your brother has an alcohol problem. And maybe this is something that you've recognized. They get into trouble with the law. They drive while they're drunk. There's all these things that you might say, you know, maybe your brother lost his job. And honestly, the kindest thing that you can do for his brother, your brother, maybe is not bail him out again, is not give him the money because he's lost yet another job, and instead say, "I'm going to insist on you getting into a treatment program. And no, I'm not going to bail you out. No, I'm not going to cover the costs of that accident." That may seem unkind, but it's not. It's actually the kindest thing you can do. That is very different from, "Let's just be nice. Let's not rock the boat." No, you're willing to rock the boat if you're truly being kind.
So how would that, would you say you incorporate that into a kindness challenge, or do you say you should deal with, because I mean there probably are some people out
Absolutely.
There who are thinking of that person, and there's like probably bona fide things that this person needs to be maybe kindly confronted on, or you know, like you said, the boundaries where it's just like, really, I can't accept this behavior anymore, or we can't continue to relate at this level. How do you kind of do that, the hard stuff, while at the same time trying to be like, okay, but I'm also going to do this nice thing for you today?
Well, and see, but remember, the 30-day kindness challenge is really, honestly, ultimately, it's about realizing how you're relating to the other person. Now, it's going to impact the other person because suddenly you're being affirming maybe where you weren't before, and you're withholding some of that negativity that used to come out, that criticism, for example, that used to come out. And that is powerful. If you really have a truly difficult situation, I would say pick somebody else as a 30-day kindness challenge person and learn those techniques by practicing on a situation where it doesn't matter quite so much, like if it's a really super serious.
Right.
But other than that, if it's just a difficult, contentious, day-to-day contentious relationship in some way, or even not even contentious. I mean, there's plenty of people who just want to make a good relationship better. That would be the kind of thing where, yeah, you really need, I'm sorry, your husband, you know, your, let's just say your dad married a woman, you know, who's your stepmom, and it's a difficult relationship, but this is your dad's wife. You need to have a positive relationship somehow. And she can be critical and she can be demeaning and she can be difficult and your head can want to explode. But if you practice these things for 30 days, I can almost guarantee you your relationship will change. And it's not just because you're changing her, you're changing you.
Yeah. You kind of mentioned a little bit of your own experience of this with your daughter. I imagine that for some people, this is like, you know, how at the start of the year, everyone's like, okay, well, I'm going to do this sugar detox and I'm going to do
it. Yes,
like,
exactly.
And everyone feels good about it to start, but then you hit this like valley.
Yes.
What are some examples of where that can happen in a kindness challenge so that people can be prepared for it, that it's not all going to be rainbows and unicorns and just people are going to be doing group hugs?
Boy, that's a great question. Honestly, I can tell you, because we actually did the research on this as well, that there are several places where you just want to stop. If it is contentious relationship, the first time you want to stop is when that person, after you've been trying for several days, you know, it's usually 3 or 4 days, and that person does something mean. And you're like, why am I doing this? You know, I had one woman who was doing the 30-day kindness challenge for her husband, and she thought it would be no problem. And by the end of day two, she was screaming at her husband, I'm trying to do the kindness challenge, but you're making it so hard. And I thought that was hysterical. No, the first thing is going to be when they get all up in your face about something and you're thinking, why should I even bother?
Yeah, like they don't deserve
it. Keep the end game in mind and realize something. And this is the hard something, okay? Is that truly this, if you stop it because A, you don't see any difference up front or they're being mean, then that is conditional love. That is conditional kindness. Because otherwise, you know, you'd be going fine if you were all happy and they were nice to you and seeing a lot of results. But that's where you go back to the Sermon on the Mount. And that is where Jesus said, you know, that whole golden rule thing of do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Well, it turns out in context, he's talking about when you're being mistreated. So it's actually not do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. It's actually stronger than that. It's to treat others who are not being kind to you in the kind and generous way you wish they were treating you. That is way stronger and it is more difficult. So if you have a contentious relationship, be prepared for that. And truly, the good thing, though, is that in most cases, if you stick with it, you honestly will see changes. It's just not always going to be immediate.
Yeah. So Shanti, most of our audience is single. And, you know, I kind of jokingly said, oh yeah, the one way to get along with people is to just be single and go into your apartment by yourself and not talk to anyone. And then you just don't have these conflicts. But I think like we said, learning to be in relationship with people and to love people intentionally and stuff is a biblical skill and a mandate. But also tell our audience how, as someone who's on the other side of marriage and children, how really pouring into good relationships and doing kindness well now will set them up for success in a future marriage. Because I think sometimes we can have this assumption of, well, as long as I find my soulmate, it'll always be awesome.
Puppies and rose petals. Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'm not going to have to do this with them or with my kids because they're going to be super obedient and, you know, love me.
Sorry, forgive me while I want to snort out of my nose here.
Yeah, that's just Shanti's problem. That's not going to be my problem.
Yes, exactly.
Sorry for you. Shanti, oh, but whatever.
You know, it is such, I used to think that too, right? And the reality is, no matter what relationship we are in, whether it's with a roommate or with a spouse, you take you into that relationship wherever uh-huh. you go, and you are usually the problem. And I know that's a shocker, but it's honestly, it's usually not the big things. It's usually all these little ones, like getting frustrated that your roommate is a slob. Guess what? Your husband might be a slob. Your wife might be a slob. I hate to tell you this out loud, but I hate to say it, but I'm a slob. My poor husband, he is a neat, 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 neat person. And he married someone who never learned that. I do not have that gene. And guess what? It would have been helpful for our marriage if he would have maybe practiced this sort of kindness and generosity. And there are many things that I, as a very strong opinionated personality, I'm sure you can't tell, but as a strong opinionated personality, that I wish I would have learned the habit, because it is a habit, of kindness, and that I would have learned the habit of withholding negative critical comments before I got married, and I didn't, and it nearly wrecked our marriage. So let me tell you, you learn this. This is the kind of thing that applies to everything, but really what you're doing is you are learning a skill and a habit that is not only honoring God, but is super, super practical.
So how does someone deal with the, they're going to throw up a red flag or play devil's advocate here and saying, but Shanti, if I'm only being kind to them, and if I'm nixing the negative, like you tell us to do, then they're not going to know that what they're doing is bothering me or bothering someone, or they're not going to, someone has to tell them it's not okay. What do I do about that?
Well, okay.
I want that to be me.
Yeah,
I love
believe
telling
me.
People when they're wrong.
I know, yeah. Me too, unfortunately, which is where that exasperation thing comes back to. No, remember, this is only 30 days, mm-hmm. right? Are you really telling me they had no idea before the 30 days? Like, you've never said anything about the fact that your roommate is a slob ever before? Mm-hmm. And the reality is usually, no, we've said it plenty of times. Like, normally, this is a relationship where they're aware of the things that we're frustrated about. They may not be aware of the things that are really good and positive and worthy of praise and worthy of affirming. And you know what? We may not have been aware of those things that were worthy of affirming either, because we were so focused on the negative. It is fascinating that once you start looking for those things, you see them everywhere. And it wasn't like they're new. I mean, they didn't just pop out of the ground that your roommate was generous about always, driving and picking you up late at night or whatever. They were like that already. It's just you weren't giving them much credit for it. It wasn't something you noticed. And so suddenly you start noticing. And if you can think of it as this is not forever, this is just 30 days, suddenly it changes the dynamic and it melts their heart. I had a great example of somebody who had a difficult relationship with their stepmother. And actually needed the stepmother's help for something in their family business and really needed to get along with her well. And yet the stepmother was very passive aggressive, very difficult to deal with. And she just focused on that passive aggressive, frustrating behavior so much. And yet, when she started doing the 30-Day Kindness Challenge, started to see all these sweet things that were in there. And once she started focusing on those, all of a sudden, saw them everywhere. And suddenly now, it's at the end of the 30 days, she was telling me that she and her stepmother are actually not just tolerating each other, they're actually close friends with each other. And it's helping the business. It's helping her relationship with her dad. It's transformed everything because it's transformed her again.
Yeah, that's cool. Folks, we've been talking about the Kindness Challenge. The book actually is called The Kindness Challenge, 30 Days to Improve Any Relationship. This is available at boundless.org for a gift of any amount. We want to make sure we get a copy to you because, as I said on the front end, we are in a new year. What better way to kick off the new year? You're not even going to get to the gym, so just forget it. you're not going to eat healthier. You tried that last year. So here's a great way to have lasting impact on the relationships around you. Go to boundless.org, click on the resource, and we will get you a copy of it. We're also going to have, if you hop over to our blog post, we'll get the link so you can actually do the challenge. Maybe we'll start a conversation on the blog about this and see how we're all doing. This will be kind of fun. Shanti, just in our last minute here or two, can you give a couple of actual examples of what a few of the challenge, like a typical day would look like, a few actual words and tasks people can do?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, actually, when you sign up for the Focus 30-Day Kindness Challenge, what happens is you actually get 30 days of reminder emails, and they'll give you a hint or a tip of the day and maybe some research help and something that can help support you in it. And the thing that is so crucial is for people to realize, no matter what the tip is, no matter if you're who you're doing this for, and you might get some creative ideas of, okay, maybe you're doing this for a colleague at work, and here's some ideas of how you could help support them. Like, look, their job is to be the one that changes the ink in the printer, but you do it for them just to show that, hey, you've had a hard day. Those kinds of ideas will be in those emails. But regardless, it's those three things every day. It's not being negative about the person, either to them or about them to somebody else. It's finding the thing to praise or affirm every single day. And it's doing a small act of kindness or generosity. It's bringing them the coffee. It's your colleague needs 15 minutes of your time for something, to explain something, and you do not have the time, but you give it to them anyway. Mm-hmm. That's an act of generosity. Mm-hmm. And realistically, it doesn't even matter if you follow the tip of the day. If you do those three things, that is where your eyes will be opened. Signing up for this and getting those reminders is helpful, though, because it does keep us on point. Mm-hmm. We did it in the research all sorts of different ways and found out that that was by far the most beneficial way to do it.
Awesome. We'll do it.